This is Focus with Jessica Strutt on ABC Radio Perth.
Hello, hello. Lovely to be with you on this sunny day in Perth. Perth is famous for being one of the most isolated cities in the world. But did you know that humble Perth used to be called the Paris of the Southern Hemisphere? How's that? That was before all that beautiful architecture along St. George's Terrace got knocked down in the 1960s. Do you ever wonder what Perth looked like, I don't know, 50 years ago, even 100 years ago? You know, what the streets you live in would have looked like? Here's a taste of what downtown Perth sounded like more than 100 years ago in 1907. This audio is from the scene of a bustling street in Perth. The signs for tailors, Swan Beer. There's lots of men and women wearing very smart hats as they wander the streets. There's so many echoes of Perth's past in its architecture still today. But what about the suburbs? What were they like? Well, now a lot of you can actually get a taste. The State Records Office has released a resource called Retro Maps, and it weaves together historic plans to give us a bird's eye view of what Perth was like a century ago. It's a chance to explore the past and the rich fabric that makes our beautiful city what it is today.
Our house.
And I want to know if you've found your house on Retro Maps. Have you had a go at this? It's estimated more than 100,000 of you, Perth residents, will be able to have a look at this. So what have you found out about how your street has changed? Or if you haven't used Retro Maps, well, maybe you have gone and done a little bit of research into the history of either your home or something in your neighbourhood or suburb. And what did you find out? I'd love to hear your story.
Focus with Jessica Strutt.
Now, this project has taken years to bring together, and joining us today is a familiar voice, one of them. Damien Hassan is a senior archivist at the State Records Office, and Retro Maps has been revolutionised, really, the way that historians approach cultural history research. So to explore it, we've also got Carmel Given with us. She's a senior heritage consultant who's been in the field for 20 years, and Eddie Marcus, historian, heritage consultant and founder of Dodgy Perth, which many of you will be familiar with. It's got a reputation as a hot source of gossip about Perth's past. Welcome to all three of you. This project is amazing. I had a look at it this morning, so let's get into it. Damien, let's start by looking at Retro Maps. There's a patchwork of surveys laid across parts of Perth. What is Retro Maps?
Morning, Jess. So Retro Maps includes about 2,200 very early survey plans of Perth. Most of the plans date from before 1950. Perth was a very different place then. It was basically built along the Swan River, so before the Stevenson Master Plan and before the Corridor Plan, where we sort of changed the axis and built north to south. But pre-1950, Perth was built along the east-west axis, along the river, for very important reasons. One reason before we had a sewage system was actually to cart what we used to call night soil up and down the river to sanitation depots. And, of course, the Fremantle Midland Railway was an important way of getting around town back in those days. So if you're living in somewhere like Darch and your house was built 10 years ago, retro maps is probably not for you. But if you're in the more inner suburban areas and you've got an older house, or even if it's been redeveloped, it's going to be of interest.
You could look up Granny's house, though, or Mum and Dad's house if they're in an old house here in Perth, if you are in one of those newer suburbs. What sorts of things can people find out about through retro maps?
Well, it provides a pretty unique insight in how we used to live. So most of these plans predate aerial imagery, and they're super detailed, so you can literally see into your own backyard. You can see what was growing sometimes, if you had grapevines, who was keeping chooks in the backyard. Very few swimming pools in Perth. In fact, there were only about 3 swimming pools in Perth prior to the 1950s. And we think we have found Perth's first barbecue.
All right, we're going to get into that shortly. Now, why was retro maps actually created, Damien Hassan?
Well, there are these what we call sewage plans are a heavily used resource at the State Records Office. People come in to use them to find out information about their own property, for instance. So instead of people having to physically come into our office, we decided we would digitise them, and thanks to friends of Batty Library, we got some funding to digitise the original plans, which are very large plans. And this is what took the time, we engaged some fantastic volunteers who geo-referenced each plan, so putting like latitude and longitude points on each plan, and then we can present them into a mapping layer. So it did take about 2.5 years to complete this project, simply because it's very time consuming to reference the plans.
We'd love you to be part of this conversation. We're having a look at retro maps today. It's a State Records Office project, as you just heard, about 2.5 years to do. It's kind of like Google Maps of the past. And to bring you in here, we want you to tell us about whether you've done any research into your suburb or street or a particular building in your area. Love to hear the story, because I know that many of you are history buffs. You love to find out about your local area. You can text, like Linda has. She has texted, and I think this is a familiar feeling. She says, "Jess, you make me want to cry. I'm really angry at the short sight of people that knocked down all of those old, beautiful old buildings, and that this is still happening. It's a crime." Linda, thank you for that, and I'm sure you're not alone in that feeling. But we can still celebrate history by having a look at this stuff, and that's why we've got 3 of the best in here today with me. Of course, not all of Perth is covered in retro maps, Damien. What's the catchment area for this map, and how many homes do you think could be included in this project?
So we think it's about, well, it's hard to estimate, probably just over 100,000 properties, and it extends from Fremantle through to Middle Swan, and northern boundaries around sort of Tuart Hill, Osborne Park, and then if you're going south around sort of Manning, Salter Point area. And that effectively was built Perth prior to the 1950s. I'm not saying there weren't houses outside of that area, but that was the most heavily urbanised area where they wanted to install sewage first up.
Let's bring Eddie Marcus and Carmel Given into the conversation here. Now, Carmel, let's start with you. How has this tool revolutionised what you do when you're looking, you know, working as a heritage consultant, researching buildings? How's it changed the way that you do your work?
Well, it has saved me an awful lot of time. That's basically the thing I notice most, how much of a time saver it is. I remember 20 years ago when I first started working as a heritage consultant, and my boss, who was an architect, said, "Go to the State Records Office and find the sewerage plan for this house." And I didn't know what a sewerage plan was, but off I trotted to State Records, and I remember having to find a lever arch file and look up an index, and then I think that sent me to another index, and then I had to go to the drawer and find the microfiche and pull out the right number, and then you load it into the machine, and then you get a pretty dodgy A4 photocopy of the plan, and then back to the office, and then you sort of trying to put that plan into a report. And now I'm at my desk, and it takes me about 30 seconds to find that plan, and it is such high resolution. It is amazing.
Kamal, I'm really glad it saved you money. I can see RetroMaps is going to waste a lot of my time, saved you time, because I've been on it this morning going, yes. Wow, that's amazing. Now I'm going to look up this person's house and this relative's house. Gary says, I'm clicking madly on the RetroMaps, but nothing is happening. Gary, stick with it. We'll try and give a bit of a description about how best to use it. It did take me a few goes. You may need someone younger to help you. I had a go this morning. I struggled a little bit at the start, but just a lack of familiarity. But once you get there, I'm sure that you will have a lot of fun with this. Amy, thanks for your text. Amy from Morley says, both of my houses aren't on RetroMaps, but even exploring my old street is fun. You can even tell what the buildings were made of. Yes. Indeed you can, Amy. Thanks for that. What were the buildings made of? Perhaps if we focus on the inner city, I was looking this morning at some of the streets in Bayswater. What were the houses generally made of compared to what we use these days?
Well, I mean, we still have brick and tile houses from that era of Bayswater, but when you look at the outbuildings, then you see a real difference, because you would have seen along the back lane probably a little square that says EC, and that's the earth closet, later the water closet, which is your backyard toilet. And then you would see lots of little squares that just say GI, and that is just indicating a galvanised iron shed or shelter or something like that. So those materials that you would see in the early days, and if you're looking at Fremantle plans, you're seeing a lot of S for stone, limestone buildings, limestone walls. Those materials.
Okay. Eddie Marcus, we were just hearing from Kamal, given how it's revolutionised the work she does. How's it changed the way you do your work?
Well, just like Kamal said, it's an immense time saver. You used to do have to go into state records, which, with all due respect to state records, it still means trotting into town and then having a pint afterwards in the Pika Bar.
Damien almost gave you daggers then when you said, you know, with all due respect to state records, fantastic.
So, yeah, it's a real time saver on that, but it also enables you to do a context. Rather than just looking up the single plan you were doing, you can look around the area and get a much bigger view, because you can just scroll on the screen. So you're not just looking at that one property you were doing. You can now see what the context was for any building. And even if that's just an insight into that you can use in your report, it just means that you're building up a bigger picture of history than we've ever had before. And that's one of the great things about big data like this.
Fantastic. All right, we're going to keep exploring RetroMaps shortly. Still, we'd love you to be part of the conversation. You can ask Kamal Given, Damien Hassan or Eddie Marcus questions. As I said, we've got, you know, historians, we've got a senior archivist here from the State Records Office and a senior heritage consultant. So if you've got questions about some of the heritage of Perth or history of Perth, absolutely, just give us a bell.
This is Focus on ABC Radio Perth.
You are on the Focus program, ABC Radio Perth, where it's 18 minutes past 10. And if you're just tuning up in today, we're looking at a new project from the State Records Office. They've released something called RetroMaps, and it allows you to explore surveys from up to about a century ago. It's kind of like Google Maps of the past, and we're exploring how it's been created and how it's revolutionising our understanding of cultural heritage here in Perth. Now, if you want to have a look at this, just go to whichever search engine you use, so things like Google, and type in RetroMaps, or one word, SRO, which is, of course, the State Records Office, so SRO, and that should bring it up nice and easy for you. Matty, thank you for your text. He says, as a teenager in the 1970s, I worked with the great writer Tom Hungerford, noted for his World War II novel, The Ridge and the River. He mourned the loss of the beautiful architecture in Perth and said that the other side of the railway line, now known as Northbridge, should have been the business district, as there were few significant buildings and then integrity of Perth would have been kept intact. Such a simple and practical idea. What was the impetus to destroy St George's Terrace and West Perth? I'm not too sure we want to open that can of worms today, Maddie. That may be a three-hour focus episode, but I agree that it is a few of you expressing your, I suppose, frustration that we haven't kept more of our history But today we are celebrating what we do have, which is retro maps. So keep your texts coming. So this process, Carmel and Eddie, that you used to use was quite cumbersome, time-consuming. What was it like when you first used retro maps, Eddie?
Almost a COVID cough.
I can assure you he certainly doesn't have COVID, people.
So it was very much a... It was almost mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. It's just when you have a new tool and you're looking and you just play with it and you play with it. That's what people do when they get a new tool. And you go, well, first of all, I'll look at my house. That's what you do. It's that very egotistical. What did I look? And there's my house there. Just very slightly smaller. I've got an asbestos extension out the back that isn't on the... metro maps. But my neighbour to my left was a nice brick house. So I can start with the fact that I had to have an earth closet and they had internal plumbing from the start, which has made me hate them even more.
I love it. And I can see that you are the man behind dodgy Perth, definitely. Was there anything else that stood out about your own neighbourhood? I mean, regardless of the fact that it's, you know, up the ante in your competition with the people next door, was there anything else that stood out for you about what you could see in your suburb?
Yes, because my plan that I've got, well, say my plan, the state records plan for my area, is about the mid-30s. And Bayswater, where I am, which is quite close to Beaufort Street, my house, was very underdeveloped. It sold very badly. The estates, as they went up Beaufort Street, were not massively successful in those days. It really took until the 30s, mid-30s and beyond, before all the gaps are filled in. So there's an amazing number of holes in my street where there just aren't any buildings. And so you're looking at it and you're thinking, the person who lived in my house basically had one neighbour, the rich people to the left.
Great. And I noticed that this morning, as I said, I'm also in Bayswater, so I did notice, there was a lot of space, a lot more space. It just is so appealing. It reminds me of the old days of living in the Perth Hills. What about for you, Carmel Given? What was it like when you first used this resource, this tool?
I can't tell you how excited I was. I literally jumped up and down in the office and my colleagues were like looking at me strangely, what is going on? But I just left State Records office and Damien had said, hey, we've got this new toy and it's not released to the public yet, but you want to try it out and let me know what you think. And so by the time I got back to the office, he'd emailed me the link and I was so excited. And I think I went back the next day to Damien and said, I can't believe this. This is so good. This is so good. And I've shared it with everyone in my office and now we, you know, we all sort of use it on a regular basis because it's just like, it's fantastic.
Many of you are already jumping on to Retro Maps. I hope you've got some power there, Damien, at the State Resource Records Office, because I tell you what, people are jumping on to this today. It's good. It's free, isn't it? It's free. So that's fantastic. A few of you already asking about your suburbs. We'll see if we can get some tips here from the three experts with me today. Julian in Joondana says, hi, this is really interesting. I will have to get into this. I'm in Joondana. I have kept street maps back to 1981 and I have copies of maps going back to the 50s. Thanks for that. I just want to say the 80s is not that long ago though. Wayne says, hey guys, does retro maps encompass Applecross in the 60s? Damien?
It does, although I think once the surveyors made their way round to Applecross, they'd kind of run out of oomph or something because they were sort of plotting the property boundaries but not so much the houses. So unfortunately a lot of the houses, some of the houses are included but some of the original houses aren't actually included within the retro map site.
And someone wanting to find out about Scarborough, which is apparently a postcode 6019, would there have been much around in Scarborough back in the day, Damien Hassan?
A little bit. So that's kind of right on the boundary there. So if you're in South Scarborough, you might be lucky. Just looking at the site overall, you sort of get that sense that we live very differently today. So back then, houses were on quarter-acre blocks. They didn't have more than one bathroom. In fact, if you had a bathroom, you were lucky. Whereas these days, people probably speak to their toilet to flush it because pushing a button, so last year. So a very different way of living and a more...
Not at my house.
A more simple way of living 100 years ago.
I won't be talking to my toilet anytime soon. Eddie Marcus, historian, heritage consultant, founder of the blog Dodgy Perth. I'm sure many of you are familiar with that blog. I'm wondering, Can you explain, you've taught us about what it was like using it. How do you actually use this resource in what you do? How do you use it?
Well, at the most basic level, because you can do this little slidey thing on the bottom right, which lets you switch between the aerial photograph from Google Maps and the older plan, you can just see what's been extended. So you've got the original house there, and then you can see the modern aerial. So you can go at a very basic level, oh, there's the original rooms. This is a later extension. And in terms of doing quick heritage studies, it's amazing to be able to go, well, that's definitely extension, not even a need for a site visit anymore. And again, this is another time-saving, especially if you're doing something like I do, where you revise a huge local government inventory for a council. Instead of having to do a site visit and see what sort of bricks are out the back, you can just look at this and go, there you are, 3 seconds, I can tell you what's original and what's been added on later. And that's it. You just do something like that and you go, wow, just literally 2 years ago, this would have been an impossible thing. But now, thanks to this tool, I can run through dozens of these a day.
And I'm wondering, what about for you, Carmel Given? Is it a similar experience or slightly different? We know how excited you are using it, but how do you use it? What does it do in terms of helping the work you do day to day?
Yeah, similar to Eddie. So it is that basic level of, okay, this is how it was back in the day, and then I use lots of aerial photos as well as the current one to sort of track the development of a site. But the other thing it does is it can send me off in a direction that I didn't expect to go with research. So, for example, I was looking the other day at a property in, I think it was North Perth or Mount Lawley, and I noticed on the sewage plan there was vine trellis, quite a large one in the backyard. So then I zoomed out and I noticed that basically almost every house in that street or every second house had vine trellises and citrus orchards were marked.
Wow.
So I made an educated guess that you're looking at a migrant community there, you're looking at Italians or Greeks perhaps. So then that sent me off in a direction for research. So there's an unexpected social history that you get. It's not just a plan for water pipes. It's
a treasure trove,
isn't
it?
It's a treasure trove, yes.
I love treasure troves. And I know Focus listeners love treasure troves. They are sending through lots of texts today too. They're excited. They're as excited as you three and me about this. Before we go to those texts though, Damien, I did want to ask it. How easy is it to navigate? Does it take a little bit of time? I struggled a little bit this morning, maybe because I was in a rush trying to get in here and get the show started. But how easy, and any little tips for people wanting to get onto retro maps?
Sure. So online mapping sites are traditionally a little bit tricky to use just because you've got different tools you can play with. I would really just encourage people to go to the site and, as Eddie indicates, just have a bit of a play. You can just zoom in to great detail for individual properties. There's in the bottom right of screen, there's a little what's called an opacity slider. So just start sliding that back and forth and you can start to see the plans fade in and out and compare that to current imagery. And then click on a plan if you want to freely download it.
Now, news headlines coming up, but let's go to some texts. And please keep them coming if you want to be part of this chat about, well, really, we're celebrating our history and our heritage here in our beautiful city. And we're celebrating a new free tool, and it's called Retro Maps by the State Records Office. It allows you to go and pop your address in if you're in an old home, or maybe you want to just go and search what Granny's house and the street where you used to go as a kid maybe was like back in the day. You can go back a long way and see how things have changed. Congratulations, says Jackie. She says, what a great project that I look forward to using. I'm very proud. I live in a heritage area in Subiaco. We were given a full history of our house going back to the early 1900s. Being in a heritage area means the houses are saved for future generations. Jackie, I wish we had more of that happening. Sometimes I see people knocking down places, even where we're in Bayswater, Eddie, and I get a little sad when the new places go up. I understand everyone has different tastes, but it can be a little frustrating. Ian called to say, for people in the Applecross area, the City of Melville has heritage photos. aerial photographs and maps going back to the 60s online that you can also access. Ian, fantastic tip there. A great space focus is to share this kind of information with each other. And a couple of you asking about the Perth Hills, Kalamunda, Glen Forest and the history and heritage there. I'll try and get some information for you when we come back from the news headlines, because you know that area is close to my heart. It's a beautiful spot, the Perth Hills, and it's rich with lovely history that everyone can enjoy.
You're with Jess on ABC Radio Perth. Focus.
You're with Jess Strutt on the Focus program, ABC Radio Perth. Great to have your company. If you're just tuning in, I'm wondering, have you ever wandered around your neighbourhood and sort of dreamt about or reminisced on what it may have looked like 100 years ago and how the buildings and spaces have changed? Well, now you can. You can do it virtually through the State Records Office. They've released something called Retro Maps. It allows you to explore surveys from up to about a century ago, and it means that you can have a look at what your street looks like, a look at what your house used to look like if it's an old one, and it's revolutionising our understanding of cultural heritage here in Perth. With me today, Carmel Given, a senior heritage consultant, Damien Hassan, senior archivist at the State Records Office, and Eddie Marcus, historian and heritage consultant, explaining how it's changed their jobs and changed their life, and it can change yours. And I was asked before we went to the news headlines there about the Perth Hills and how much of that is covered, Damien. Is much of the Perth Hills in this?
No.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm not sure when the Perth Hills got connected to the sewerage scheme, but it would have been a bit later on in the piece.
But there's plenty of history out there, so you can always follow the heritage trail yourself up there and find out all the history there. Beautiful spot. All right, let's step back in history and to bring us up to speed, I suppose. What was the original purpose of the sewerage surveys then, Damien?
It was about installing a sewerage scheme throughout Perth, and this happened in parallel with installing water mains through the Perth metropolitan area. So even in places like Claremont, they weren't connected to the water mains until 1903, which is kind of in our, you know, many of our grandparents' time, really. They would have had to have used wells in the back and so on. So there's a massive infrastructure project in the early 1900s to roll out the water mains and to roll out a sewerage scheme to connect up individual houses to that scheme.
What does the survey show us more broadly about how Perth has changed, Damien Hassan?
Well, I mean, you can look at it from the individual house perspective, where housing design was very different. You had every house had a front veranda that had shade. Every house, almost every house, had a sleep out back. We lived on quarter acre blocks, so there was a lot of trees on the property providing natural shade. So this was, of course, the days before, as we've mentioned, swimming pools and before air conditioning. So you had to use passive elements to keep the house cool over summer.
Now, this person has texted in. Keep your texts coming in. If you would like to ask a question of our experts today, you can. The number 1300 222 720, or you can text 0437922720. This person says, I'm in Doubleview on Parramatta Road. Doesn't exist. My 90-year-old neighbour told me there were just sand tracks in the beginning with a few houses dotted here and there. Doesn't that sound delightful? It is lovely to reminisce about where we live and what it used to look like, that's for sure. You were mentioning earlier, Damien, about a lot of the ways that the toilets being based in the backyard. Can you elaborate for us? Because there was an interesting part of information I read leading into today to do with the laneways and why they're actually there.
Well, that was one of the purpose of the laneways for a person whose job it was, had a delightful job title of night soil collector, who would come and collect what we used to call the night soil.
I like that term.
That's a fantastic... Well, I wish we had job titles like that these days. So obviously we don't want to have to go back to those days, because many of us have memories of having to go to the backyard dunny in the middle of the night and brave the redback spiders and that type of thing. But, so the sewerage scheme sort of let us have inside toilets and connect us to, you know, to a scheme that made that process a whole lot easier.
I'm wondering, Eddie Marcus, what does it all mean for shaping our understanding of Perth's heritage, do you think, a tool like this?
It gives you a completely different way of visualising our past. Normally, we experience the street by walking down it. We're looking at a series of the facades of the buildings. That's how we just experience on a day-to-day. And old photographs, very often, are just facades or streetscapes. But this is a top-down, godlike view of the whole place, and that gives you just a different way of thinking, different way of conceptualising the whole thing. And if all it does is just go, wow, it was like that, you've got a new insight into what Perth used to be like compared to a photograph, which gives you a human perspective. This over-the-top, and until the advent of aerial photography, you were limited to surveys like this, so there wasn't aerial photography at this, and it's just a different way of visioning, different insight, and even if all you do is scroll around and you go, it was like that, it looks different to how I remember it from the photographs I've seen, you've now can put that together with the photographs and suddenly you've got a much more complete picture of Perth's history.
This is Focus on ABC Radio Perth.
You're with Jess Strutt on the Focus program, ABC Radio Perth. It's fantastic to have your company. We are talking today about something called Retro Maps on Focus. It's a tool, a project undertaken by the State Records Office, which allows you to explore some surveys from up to a century ago. It's kind of like Google Maps of the past, and it means that you can go and see how buildings and spaces in some parts of Perth, particularly the more historic parts of Perth, have looked at previously. With me, Carmel Given, Senior Heritage Consultant, Damien Hassan, you know his voice. He's the Senior Archivist at the State Records Office and a regular on Focus, and Eddie Marcus, who's a historian and the founder of the blog Dodgy Perth, which I know many of you will be familiar with. I'm wondering, we heard about Eddie Marcus's look at his house through this. Have you had a look at your place, Damien? And if so, what did you find out?
So I'm in a 1930s California bungalow, and it's been extended in the 1980s, so obviously the plans are before that extension. But, yeah, you can sort of see what was in the backyard, and I did have grapevines out the back, and a lot of that original structure from the 30s is fortunately still in place. But, yeah, it's just great getting that detailed insight into your own property as well as, you know, the people around you and your whole suburb. So it could become a bit of a tool for school children too, also sort of doing projects on, you know, their own house or the general neighbourhood.
Does it do you out of work, I'm wondering, Eddie Marcus?
No, because it's when Trove came along, I used to get paid to find information that was difficult, and then Trove came along and made it easier. You just have to get better. You have to tell better stories. If anyone can find the information, historians have to become more creative with their reports, with their solutions, with their writing. So you stop just finding facts for your living, and you start spinning better narratives, as we like to say in the trade.
Oh, I love that.
And we just, if you can create a more engaging thing, because the research is now easier. It just is. Trove and now Retro Maps make our lives much easier. So the hours that would have been spent finding things can now be spent on writing better things. And as a result, I believe historians are getting better. With the more data we have, the more compelling our stories can be for the public. And that is what they're going to keep paying me for, I hope.
Fantastic. That means there's hope for journalism as well then. Once the obsession with how many clicks people get on stories goes away, that it could actually improve our profession too. So fantastic to hear that it's actually made you guys better yarn weavers or better at digging into the history and telling the story. Fantastic. Had an interesting take on this, Eddie Marcus. I'm no big fan of the Identikit home. I understand, though, that they're a good price point for certain people. Is the Identikit home something, I mean, we all think of it as being new, but my understanding is then it's not as new as we may think.
Not at all. Most of the suburbs outside of the very exclusive suburbs like Claremont and Peppermint Grove were done by developers. So you had Identikit houses put up. These were the original houses, many of them now lost. But I live in a 1929 weatherboard cottage. almost all of the houses that were put up by the developer would have been the exact same model. They might have been painted different colours, but they would have been exactly the same house over and over again. And that is, for some people, what makes areas, say, of Subiaco attractive, that you've got this same sort of house over and over and over again. And we call that a heritage area. These are, in fact, just the identikit houses of the 1920s.
Sorry, does that mean there's hope for the identikit homes that are going up now, that they may be in future something that we look back and go, oh, yes, I remember that period fondly?
Possibly, but it's not every era that we look back at fondly. There are certain eras that we like the identikit homes, and there are certain eras that we've mostly torn them down because we don't like them anymore. So it will very much depend on the future. I don't want to predict what my grandchildren will want to keep, but I'm pretty sure that they'll fall in love with some 1980s identikit homes, or those wonderful Italianate things up in Stirling with the huge sort of balustrades across the front. Those are the heritage of the future, where you'll have heritage streetscapes made of 1970s Italianate housing.
Do you agree with that, Carmel Given?
I do, actually, and I have a theory that we've got about a 60-year lag on what we value. So I've noticed in the last sort of 10 years, people are starting to really love the 1950s style of not only houses but furniture and clothing. And, you know, in another 10 years, the 60s houses. And one day my 1970s house might be heritage listed. Who knows?
And that orange bathroom, fantastic. That was big then, wasn't it? I even remember those. A quick traffic update for you. Trevor, thank you for calling in to say and tell everyone Tonkin Highway between Morley Drive and Great Eastern Highway is apparently a car park right now, back-to-back traffic. So avoid that if at all possible. So that's Tonkin Highway, which seems to be a real trouble spot here, even though it's been upgraded, between Morley Drive and Great Eastern Highway. Thanks, Trevor. Always love a tip. Fran on the text line says, I found my street in Scarborough, Abbott Street, but no houses shown. Obviously not developed, though, and it did show the proposed school site. A great resource. Thanks. No worries, Fran. This one, Mike from Corrine. Thank you, Mike. He says, the State Library has an amazing online photo history. You can access some fascinating pictures online. The Batty Library online is brilliant. And that's right, Mike. We speak about the Batty Library's online resources and the State Library's online resources every Tuesday. Alternate weeks. See, the Damien Hassan, Senior Archivist at the State Records Office, comes in to talk to us about the archives, or we talk to Dr. Kate, don't we, about history. So fantastic to share these things. Keep your calls and texts coming. 0437 922 720 is the text line, and 1300 222 720 if you've got a picture. Now, you mentioned right at the start, Damien Hassan, and I wanted to come back to this, about Perth's first backyard barbecue. Can you tell us a little about that? What would that have looked like?
Well, we need to recognise that obviously Indigenous people were cooking with fire well before European settlers came along.
Indeed.
But some of us have been looking at, you know, the great historical riddle of our times. Where was Perth's first backyard barbecue? And looking in detail at some of the plans, barbecues do pop up in four properties. We think there's one in Mosman Park right by the river, built in the 1950s, that possibly could have been Perth's first backyard barbecue. So barbecues don't really pop up as a news item in Trove until you start to get to the 1950s. So it's sort of intriguing that it probably just wasn't part of our way of living until after World War II.
Terry in Joondalup is asking, are these records, retro maps, available in other Australian cities? A good question. Damien, are they available?
So in Victoria, the Public Records Office of Victoria is doing something similar with Lands Department plans, but we are starting to see these sorts of sites pop up all over the place, and there's in fact going to be a fantastic site that Curtin University's been working on, using old photographs from the State Library in a very similar way to RetroMaps. So I think within the next 10 years, there'll be lots more of these sorts of online resources you can just find just by putting in an address.
Okay. Keep up to date with ABC Radio Perth.
Tweet us on Twitter.
Like us on Facebook.
And follow us on Instagram.
We are everywhere.
ABC Radio Perth.
On air, online.
On mobile.
And on the ABC Listen app.
And you're on the Focus program right now. How significant do you think this shift is in archival material, Damien Hassan, from the perspective of not only the individual working in spaces like Carmel and Edyard, but as a community?
Oh, it's huge. So we are part of a revolution at the moment, and I suppose the next big step will be when the technology can read handwriting automatically. So that's been a sort of a big stumbling block. But we're seeing software now that can read, you know, letters that were written 150 years ago and basically tell our computers in the future will tell us what that letter said. You don't have to won't have to decipher those yourself. Hopefully, I mean, it's still early days with that, but we're seeing people working on that currently at the moment.
Carmel Given, what's your take on how significant this shift is in archival material?
I think what I like about it is that it's not just people like me who do this for a job that are sort of being exposed to this, you know, kind of resource. I mean, we all love just getting everything at our fingertips these days, and then to have something like this that might raise a profile of history, get everyone a little bit more interested in their local neighbourhood, and that can only be a good thing from my perspective.
And what about for you, Eddie? I know it's revolutionised the way you look at your neighbours. But what about what's it done in terms of revolutionising the archives material?
Well, I absolutely agree with Carmel that it's opened up things that were previously locked away to specialists. But more importantly, it's free. I can't stress how rare this is in the world. We have Trove for free. We have Retromaps for free. In the United Kingdom, equivalents cost things that only institutions can afford or specialists can afford to pay for. Australia is so privileged to have this stuff just available for anyone. And I speak to people all the time who just go, oh, yeah, I'll just look that up on Trove. These aren't specialist historians. They're just somebody who's found something they want to know, and they know where this resource is to go to. And I say that if I was working in the UK, I'd be having very expensive subscriptions to use either of these services. And it's just opened up everything, and it's made everybody's lives not just easier, but it also seems to bring actual genuine pleasure to people to be able to go, I found a story about my grandmother, you know, in the old newspapers. A thing that would have been impossible 20 years ago without ploughing through thousands of newspapers hoping to stumble across a story about your grandmother. And so people are getting genuine pleasure out of archive. And history isn't just about pleasure. It's also about being paid professionally for it. But bringing just that sort of way of this big data coming into the public realm and people just engaging with it and just enjoying it should hopefully increase an appreciation of history generally. But even if all it does is give people something to do rather than just play Candy Crush, I play a lot of Candy Crush.
You're full of surprises, you are. A beautiful way to wrap up. Get off the Pokemon. Get off the Candy Crush. Get out there and have a look at Retro Maps. My big thanks to Carmel Given, a senior heritage consultant, Damien Hassan, senior archivist at the State Records Office, and Eddie Marcus, historian, heritage consultant, and founder of the blog Dodgy Perth, for coming in to share all of the rich history of Perth, but also about this tool, Retro Maps.